Apple's privacy nutrition labels show you which apps consume the most data, but the other menu options are limited. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Molly Wood. A few weeks ago, Apple released an iOS update that shows you how much data every app on your phone or tablet is collecting. And it can be surprising. For example, even though WhatsApp offers encrypted messaging, no one can read your actual messages, it still collects a ton of other information, like your location, potentially, what you buy through the service, who your friends are, and shares all of that with parent company Facebook. The idea here is that, much like once you find out a single burrito could have 1,000 calories in it, you'll be horrified and make better choices. Of course, Apple would love for people to choose its built-in apps instead. Ashkan Soltani is a fellow at Georgetown Law's Center on Privacy and Technology. He says the labels could surprise people if they care.
Apple's broken it down to essentially data that's linked to you. So things like your email address, but also device identifiers, random numeric identifiers that have been used to essentially say you're Molly Wood without necessarily saying your name. And then data used to track you. So if you're using a dating app or like a prayer app to pray, they might be able to know that you are religious in some way.
It sounds like you're not very hopeful that this is going to make a meaningful difference in consumer behavior.
You know, I'm optimistic that the more folks understand these practices and then the more choice that's given to them, that over time we'll see the benefit. But I don't think immediately people are going to stop using the Facebook app or the Instagram app just because it collects a ton of information about them. I think people are kind of locked into this world where they don't really have effective choice around privacy, and they want to use these apps to communicate with their friends or to shop online. So I don't know if we'll see a shift in behavior, but at least we'll see a shift in awareness.
Yeah. I mean, going back to kind of the original nutritional requirements, I mean, we still have obesity in America, but menus have changed.
No, absolutely. That's true. And in California, we're fortunate to have privacy laws, one of the first in the country, but we don't have a national regulator that says certain practices are just plain out bad, that you cannot engage in certain practices. So if the flashlight app collects your address book and your location information and sells that to a third party, that's on the consumer to be aware of, and that's what Apple's trying to help. But there's no regulator that says you just can't do that.
Well, and of course, Apple is the one requiring these disclosures, not, as you say, the government or some kind of standards body. And Apple benefits in some way if other apps look worse than Apple's apps.
Indeed, you know, we have this issue of the gatekeepers essentially setting so much of our policy. So, and in this case, you know, we have a benevolent dictator that has essentially chosen some privacy design options that help consumers. But as you say, Apple is not in the data selling business as well. And so it does, in fact, help Apple as well.
Do you have a sense of whether this move and maybe some increasing consumer awareness could push other tech platforms to require similar disclosures? And by other tech platforms, I mean Google.
Right. So the issue is that Google is going to be one of the most prominent third parties present in this ecosystem. So most apps, most advertising happens through Google's platforms, even on Apple apps, right? Most app developers embed third-party Google Analytics and third-party DoubleClick widgets. So there's definitely going to be a focus on Google. Whether Google embraces this in their own app store, I think, remains to be seen. I would say while the Android team has been, you know, somewhat security and privacy minded, as a company, as you know, advertising and tracking is core to Google's business model. And I'm not sure that they will shift away from that anytime soon.
Ashkan Soltani is a fellow at Georgetown Law's Center on Privacy and Technology. Shortly after Apple released the privacy labels, it updated them to include its own apps, which, not surprisingly, do collect less. And now for some related links. There is a link to a Forbes report on WhatsApp versus iMessage. I highly recommend checking out the charts because even though this is, in some ways, a self-serving exercise by Apple, I mean, let's just say there's a reason Facebook is objecting to these labels. Because if you think WhatsApp collects a lot of information, wait until you see the chart on Facebook Messenger. Wowee. Soltani also sent along a piece from the Wall Street Journal from 10 years ago that was one of the earliest to show how much information smartphone apps were collecting, and more crucially, where it was being shared. He said prior to that piece, people really had no idea how much information was being collected beyond basic demographics. And to be honest, most still don't. It's a pretty fascinating trip back through time. Soltani also told us he believes there will be a federal privacy law within 2 years. So consider that our first official prediction for 2021. And before we go today, I want to share an absolutely heartbreaking story. We've been covering accessibility and designing for disability in tech on this show. And I was so sad to hear yesterday that one of the giants of that work, August de los Reyes, died last month from COVID-19 at age 50. Reyes was paralyzed in 2013 after an accident and a misdiagnosis at the hospital. And he went on at Microsoft, Pinterest, Google, and Vero to be one of the creators of the theory of inclusive design, the idea that creating products and solutions that include everyone, whether they're underrepresented minorities or people with disabilities, the elderly, that if you do that, you make products that are better for everyone. This is a person who made the world better, not in spite, but because of his own misfortune. And this is a really sad one. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.